Welcome to ABA Happy Hour.
In true ABA Happy Hour podcast fashion, I will be drinking coffee with a touch of Bailey's this morning. Okay. Hello, this is Jesse with ABA Happy Hour. Today, we're doing kind of like a little mini episode. This has been a wild month. It's December, and Lenine and I both just finished our almost last semester of our ABA master's program, and we are super stoked to be done, and we're just taking a little bit of time, but we thought that maybe a little mini episode might be really helpful. And honestly, I just really want to talk about ultra running, and so here we are. So what is ultra running? So that is anything that is, it's a run or a hike, power hike, or it is a distance, anything over 26.2. So if you go 26.3, you have ultra marathon, right? So I love to run these types of races. I have done everything from, you know, just over a marathon to a 50K to 100 miles and different terrain, different areas. There's been a lot of really fun stories that I have, but that is not the point of today. So with that, there's a lot of training that goes into it. There's a lot of, you know, motivational aspects to that. And of course, you're probably thinking, why would anyone want to do that? That is a great question. So why don't we start with motivating operations? What in the hell gives people the idea that this would be smart? So if you run a 100-mile race, typically you get a buckle. And when I say buckle, I literally mean like a belt buckle. And I know, who wears belts anymore? And also, it's COVID, we're all in PJs. Totally get it. But basically that buckle is like the medal, right? And so some people are very highly motivated by the buckle. And to be clear, buckles are not cheap. Yeah, they're not cheap. So really working towards that and all of the effort that goes into a 100-mile race, that, you know, I don't know about the cost-benefit analysis there, but some people, you know, it's different for everyone. So there's definitely that. Some people just want to be able to say they've done it, right? Ultra running has gained a lot of popularity in the past little bit. And so some people are just really motivated by that, or they're like, oh, I have time off, or I don't know what else to do with myself, and so this is what I'm going to do, or I need to prove this, or, you know, everybody runs for a different reason or does that. I will say I've had many different reasons that I've run. Like, I'm a mom and a graduate student and 14 other things and a partner and a friend and blah, blah, blah. Like all of these things. I have, you know, several jobs and a bunch of passion projects like this podcast. And sometimes I just want to go run that long just so I like have a reason to go take a break. and then also like there's all this training aspect. So there's just really this focus on health, right? And we're super excited. In January, we're going to start a little bit of an ACT series. And so that's kind of like a little teaser into, you know, values and commitment to those values. So that really fits with the ultra running, you know, why the motivating operations of why someone would want to do that in the first place, right? Then we've got a couple different behavioral principles as well. Like, let's talk about like training for that. Like, that takes some time, like even just to get to that buckle, or, you know, if it's a lot of 100 Ks, which is about 60 some odd miles, they will do a buckle for that as well. But a lot of times you get a medal, and yeah, a lot of people are really motivated by bling. I will say, sorry, I know we're jumping back and forth, but honestly, like, I am not someone who's motivated by bling. Oh, there, I said it. I'm sorry. That's my confession to the ultra running community. Like, that is just not my, it's just not my cup of tea. And I have DNF'd races because, like, it's just not motivating for me. But that's another topic. We'll get there in a second. But that particular reward, reinforcement there is just not, it's just not, not important to me. And for a lot of people, it is, right? And to have those rights and, you know, oh man, it's wild. But anyways, so the training part of it, right? So, you know, the antecedent, right? That's what we've got. ABCs, antecedents, behavior, consequences. The antecedent is typically like it's on your schedule, right? That you're supposed to work out. And then, or you've signed up for this race. Because usually once you commit to signing up for a race, again, we'll get into this in ACT. But once you commit to signing up for a race, like, man, like now you have to do it, right? Like now you have invested money in it. You have put forth an effort, and now you kind of have to follow through with it, right? And so the behavior is either you do your scheduled workout, whether it's, you know, a little yoga session, because you really need to vary your training if you're doing ultra running, and we won't get too far into that. But, you know, whether you're running a long run on the weekend or during the week, or you're doing strength training, a Camp Gladiator, which has been my current obsession lately, not sponsored by them, but would not be mad, just throwing that out there. So either you work out, you do what you were supposed to do, you know, what was marked there, the expectation, and then the consequence of that is either you did it, so your body is now stronger, or maybe it's more rested, depending on what your, you know, whether it was like active recovery movement, a little bike ride, etc. So now your body has, you know, had the opportunity to acclimate to the expectations that you're placing on it. And then you're taking care of it and helping it, you know, maintenance, kind of like with a car, right? I've heard that example, like, you know, yes, you may drive it across the country on a road trip, but you still need to make sure you get the oil changed and you're taking care of it the way you, the things you eat, et cetera, right? And sometimes that requires like waking up super early in the morning to get in your miles or to get in your workout, because we all have lives, right? Training for 100 miles is, you know, or a 50 mile or a 50K, like it's kind of like a part-time job, honestly. And so there can also be other consequences, like, okay, so the antecedent is, it's there, you know you're supposed to do it, you have the time blocked off, awesome, everything is ready to go, and then you don't do it, right? And sometimes that's because you needed a nap. Like this week, I've missed two workouts. I'm also tapering. I do have a 100-mile race this weekend. But yeah, like sometimes you're just like, I'm not going to do it, right? Or maybe I'm going to double up on another day, or I'll just add a little bit to another day because I just couldn't do it today, whether that's physically or mentally. And man, that's real too. I'm going to go ahead and give a shout out to Coach Kathy Broughton from Runner's World in Tulsa. I think I mentioned we're in Dallas, but I used to live that away. And that ultra running community definitely left a huge impression on me, and I love all of them dearly. And Coach Kathy will always say that ultra running is more 90% mental. So of course there is all the physical components that we're talking about, but the mental piece of that is so important too. And so if you have to miss a workout, that's okay, right? Some people are not okay with that. And some people are just really stuck with routine, and sometimes people really need that structure and routine. So that's really important too. This is like a, it's almost like, you know, a kid's in a classroom, right? When they have a schedule and they know what to expect, it's a lot easier to implement it. And they don't really have to think about it. They just do it. That's why a lot of people have a workout schedule. And they plan their workouts during the week and et cetera. It makes it a lot easier. And we're probably going to do a habits podcast, especially for starting the new fun year of whatever 2021 is going to bring us. But yeah, and so the consequence of, you know, not working out, if that was, you know, the behavior that was emitted, then what you would do is like the consequence is really like, it could be that you're doing well now and like, oh, you're rested and maybe you're even better for the next workout, right? Or the next day you're able to focus on things other than running and ultra running, because it is so easy to get sucked into that and have all these expectations and comparison. Oh my gosh. And like at the end of the day, you just want to run your own race, right? And so like mindfulness and meditation, a ton of ultra runners like have that as part of their regimen, right? And sometimes people will say that while they're running or hiking or, you know, doing these long endurance events, that they are, that's a form of meditation as well, or they have some sort of mental work that they're also doing while they're running, right? And particularly the longer you go. So that is definitely really important. And we talked a little bit about what is reinforcing to some people may not be reinforcing to another, which is fine. You know, for example, when I've chosen to DNF, which has been a couple times. So I'll talk about the last race that I did. So it was Dino Valley 100. So shout out to the Active Joe, Libby, who is fantastic, and her whole crew. Who are just, oh my gosh, they're all wonderful. They put on great races here in Texas. And so her last race was Dino Valley. That was in November. And distances were like 5 miles to 100 miles. So you had lots of options. She did a great job with COVID precautions, making sure everybody was separated. She had waves that people were starting in and then had Saturday and Sunday starts. And so she did wonderful with that. And I have a philosophy that if I'm not having fun anymore, then I stop. Because and granted, I know it's supposed to hurt. It's not supposed to be fun. I gotcha. The expectations of it are, you know, it's gonna hurt. But if I am recognizing that my mental and my physical body are not in congruence and they are not working together, then I'm fully aware that that is not, like, I need to be done, right? Or I'm going to be doing mental or physical damage, which to me is enough reason to say I'm good with DNFing. So the last race I did that at maybe, I don't know the mileage, but it was somewhere between 30 and 40 perhaps. And it was about as it was getting dark. I was in a lot of pain. It's very rocky on that particular course. And honestly, I did not train the way I should have. So that 90% mental didn't completely work out for me in this particular race, but it has in others. You know, I took a break, and, you know, everybody is of course giving me tons of shit. So there's y'all shout out if you're listening, to go do at least one more loop, right? I'm in my llama pajamas, I'm hanging out. And then the next day there's someone who needed a pacer. And so a pacer is someone who kind of comes alongside you and helps keep you motivated and keeps you awake and just keeps you moving, right? So they kind of become a little bit of a motivating operation themselves. And so someone needed a pacer. So I changed out of my llama pajamas. Here we go, ready to rock and roll. And for whatever reason, like, I'm actually running. And to be clear, when it was my race, like, I wasn't really, like, I was more power hiking. And everyone has their different opinions, but I am telling you, if you're thinking about doing something like that, just meet yourself where you are. You'll be really disappointed and get burnout and frustrated if you keep trying to go above and beyond, like, where you are. Just be honest with yourself and, you know, challenge yourself, but it's not worth hurting yourself and then being out and not being able to do it. That's my opinion. And that everybody has their own. But that's mine. So yeah. And so anyways, I like actually wound up running with her and enjoying it. And so it's very interesting because I had this conversation with my partner later where it was like, man, my motivated, like, I am motivated and it is of value to me and it is reinforcing to me to pace other people. But like when it's my own race, I have no problem DNFing. Also, just a small point on like being first or last within racing in general. Like, I have gotten so much cool stuff for being last sometimes. Like, and I've gotten nothing for being middle of the pack or like, and I have gotten like a third in my age group. But other than that, like, you don't get anything special, right? Like, other than saying it and like, in my opinion, most people don't care. I mean, it's cool for you. And if that's your goal, like, more power to you, if that's what's reinforcing. But I think it's just a reminder that not every runner has the same reason for doing something, just like nobody has the same reason for doing something, right? Like, we all do different things to get a paycheck, right? We all do different things to get this, like, people find their reinforcement in other places as well. So anyways, I think my point with that, I may have lost it, but is that it can be, you know, the establishing operations and moving operations can change, right? And so it depends on the environment in which they are. You know, in the environment that I chose to DNF, it was, I was by myself, I was going into the night, I was hurting, my hips were hurting so bad. But then the next day I was a little bit more rested, right? And then like this other person needed me. So I was like, yes, I'm here, I'm ready. And to be clear, she probably didn't really need me, but it made me feel good to think that she did. Cause she rocked it. She finished her 100-mile race. And I did the last loop with her. She was so cool. And she's the one who's got me stuck on Camp Gladiator right now. So anyways, then we've got, so again, we kind of talked a little bit about preference and choice, and really like with ultra running and like we were talking about the training and sorry, I know again, I said we were going to jump back and forth. So here we are again. It's a lot of behavioral skills training, which is, you know, modeling of the behavior, learning the behavior feedback, and doing it again, right? And so with behavioral skills training, that's really just a way to help shape up the behavior. And that's what a training plan is. And like, if you have a coach, like that's what they're doing, right? Like they're helping. So this is ABA out in the real world, like a real thing that we talk about and do all the time. Like that's what it is. And like when you go get your gait analyzed and, you know, if you have a running coach that's monitoring your workouts or you know, like checking your Strava to see how it went. And, you know, if you have, a watch, right? Like that's even a form of feedback that gives you data. And so it's pretty cool. Like, so I really just wanted to do this episode to show ABA and the principles of ABA in a little bit of a different light, and speak to my ultra running folk out there too. And I know they know all of this, but just kind of relating some of those terms and translating it there. So thank you for listening to my ramblings and see you later.
If you guys are supporters and really like what you heard in this episode or previous episodes, please make sure that you like or and follow us at ABA Happy Hour Podcast on both Facebook and Instagram. You can find us on both of those. And of course, always follow us on whatever podcast platform that you listen to. We can be found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and lots of other podcasting platforms. So just make sure you support us on whatever platform it is that you prefer to use.
Indeed, indeed. You're also welcome to email us at ABA Happy Hour Podcast. No, wait. ABA Happy Hour. Sorry, y'all. We're recording this after a couple. ABA Happy Hour at gmail.com. There it is. There it is. There it is. So you can email us there with any of your questions if you like. And then also, what you can do, Lenine was mentioning all those lovely places that you can find our podcast. If you follow the link on there, if you really like what you heard, we are accepting donations of any form, really. Reinforcement is a big part of our podcast, of course. And so if you feel generous to donate and you have the means, we would love a little support to keep us going so we can expand a little bit too. We have some great ideas and we'd love to keep providing great education and laughs for you all.
Absolutely. So guys, just make sure you support us in whatever way fits you best, and we look forward to hearing from you.